If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. It's that time of the year, hey, where everyone is running on fumes and, you know, wanting this to end now. I do have to say it is surprisingly, even though I am also tired and I'm ready for a December holiday, I do actually enjoy this time of the year. I love the energy. I love the festive season and everything that goes with it. So it's a funny dynamic for me as well. Also, I don't know exactly what happens on the 31st of December that switches that switch to, all of a sudden I have a lot of energy type of situation. But it is an interesting dynamic. And I do love the wonderful and the colorfulness of what this time of the year brings. Even though it's a lot, I enjoy it. And there's a lot of things to tick off my to-do list, which is always very satisfying to my personality. So, I, of course, always want to share with you in these experiences. So please do share with me on the WhatsApp line whether or not you're having that end of year feeling. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you feel overwhelmed by it? Because it is also, I mean, obviously preparing now for the festive season and all those type of things can be, trying, and you have to spend time with family and things like that. And some people enjoy it and some people don't. But yes, share with me a little bit of your experience with regards to the festive season and this time of the year. Are you a fan? Are you not a fan? You can send a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. So today's show, let's get back on the road with what we're talking about. As always, I talk about talk to an expert about various topics. And I actually think today's topic is especially something to talk about. It's something you see a lot more of. I also feel just like mental health issues, I think it is often has a little bit of a stigma to it as well. Also, I feel it's often misdiagnosed as well. And even I find myself, even I have made comments about it that now reflecting on it is maybe slightly inappropriate and is adding to the stigma of it. So to kind of shed light on it and to talk about it, what am I talking about? I like this little mystery build-up that I'm creating unnecessarily and not intentionally. Today we are talking about ADHD and children with ADHD and also parenting children with ADHD, or maybe not just even children. I mean, obviously you can also have ADHD when you're an adult. But again, I brought in the big guns today. Today I am speaking to registered counselor. She's been in private practice for over 10 years already. She's also a mom of two, which is in my books already gives her super credentials. Lorna Thrun. Hello, Lorna. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Yolandi. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope that I can shed some light on some of the misconceptions and things around ADHD today for you and all the listeners.
Yeah. So, but let's start with a big question, because again, like I said, naming and shaming, again, I sometimes make jokes where I'd say like, sometimes you're going to eat sweets and your child's going to have ADHD type of thing. And again, now reflecting on it, that's the last time I will ever say that line. What exactly is ADHD?
So there is a lot of misconception about what ADHD actually is, but ADHD stands for attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder. It's a mental disorder with three main clusters of characteristics. So the first one is actually inattention. So that would be difficulty with sustaining focus being easily distracted, forgetful, losing things, struggling with organization. The next cluster is hyperactivity. So it is constant movement, fidgeting, kids who are very restless, struggling to sit still, and little ones that are always on the go. So, and the last cluster is actually impulsivity. So that is acting before thinking, interrupting others, difficulty waiting turns, and having these big emotional reactions. But ADHD is often diagnosed based on behavior, but behind the behavior lies something incredible. So kids with ADHD have super fast brains. Their minds think quickly, they move quickly, they operate at high speed. And almost like driving a Lamborghini brain in a world where everybody else prefers slow driving, it can be challenging and it can be tricky, but it's also brilliant. So many kids with ADHD are deeply curious. They're highly creative. They are great at noticing little patterns that other people miss. And they are often full of enthusiasm and fresh ideas.
Lorna, I actually got goosebumps from that just now because I'm now even more looking forward to this conversation because I think you've properly segued already into such a beautiful thing of, because that's sometimes where it comes from. It's like we're often focusing on these things like inattention, hyperactivity, impulsivity, all things that you can also, but you put such a nice spin on it in the end of the day, because that's a reality as well. Having a super fast brain, being curious, being creative, that's wonderful qualities that we should also not oversee. An interesting thing though for me is that, and I'm just wondering, like now I'm talking out of personal experience as well, is that, and we're going to talk about the misconceptions about it as well, because you've now talked about that inattention, hyperactivity, impulsivity. And I actually, at one point, my son, when he was about, I would say 12, he went through a phase where that, and we actually suspected maybe he had ADHD because we were like, tick, 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 tick. With regards to that, because it was just, it was all of those things. Forgetfulness. How long do these signs have to be present before you then say it's ADHD?
That is a very good question. So a lot of these behaviors are developmentally normal as well. So kids aren't known for their listening skills or their organizational skills in general. So we have to take that into regard. What is developmentally normal and what is clinically significant? But what you want to look at is you want to look at a persistent pattern across settings over a longer period of time. And if you notice that this pattern is influencing your child's functioning, daily functioning, and is persistent and is intense, then you should seek professional help.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today, we're talking about parenting children with ADHD. And it's been already very like wonderful and nice and exciting for me to talk about this, where we often have these kind of misconceptions of what ADHD. And again, I'm a culprit in this. I'm maybe not intentionally, or not, I know it wasn't intentional, that I know. But in the same breath, we can only do better if we know better. And today I am learning properly. Today joining me is registered counselor who has been in private practice for over 10 years already, Lorna Thron. She's also a mom of two. Lorna, again, such a beautiful testament with regards to, and when we were off air, Lorna was also mentioning to me, all these positive things where she sees this has to do with the beautiful children that she's helping as well and assisting. And it's beautiful. I love the passion that's coming through as well. But I mean, again, like I said, with lots of mental health things as well, I do think that ADHD is like also very misdiagnosed. There's lots of misconceptions about it. And we've already spoken about it a little bit, but what are some of these common misconceptions that parents have?
Yes. So some of the biggest misconceptions out there is a child who jumps from one idea to another is labeled as unable to concentrate. And a child who speaks before thinking is often labeled as rude. A child who struggles with big emotions is often described as out of control. But these are misunderstandings. So impulse control and emotional regulation are skills, and all kids learn these skills over time. Kids with ADHD simply need more support and more patience in developing these skills so that they can get really good at doing these things as well, like impulse control and emotional regulation. So I think that's the biggest misconception. It gets labeled as behavioral problems, and oftentimes that is not what is happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I think, again, how you're talking about it is hopeful and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And because, again, I think that parents, it's scary also for parents. Again, I had, we went through a phase, and obviously now I know it wasn't ADHD that my son was diagnosed with, but he went through this phase where he was forgetting things all the time. Now I know it was just probably developmentally appropriate behavior, you know, going that preteen phase type of thing. But in the same breath, it is also scary as a parent when you're thinking, okay, what can we do? What should we be doing? But again, he was also already 12 years. I was actually quite angry that the by the time I had spoken to the school about certain things, then certain teachers were telling me, oh, yo, this makes sense. This makes sense. And then I'm like thinking, excuse me, there's a pattern forming here that I could have noticed earlier type of thing, but maybe I don't know, maybe I was being naive. How early can ADHD be identified, and does it look like different for, I mean, toddlers also are impulsive, and I mean they can't organize themselves in any way. How does it look different at different ages as well?
Yes, certainly. So ADHD signs can appear early, but it's really formally diagnosed in toddlers because it's difficult to distinguish, exactly like you said, what's developmentally normal, what's clinically significant. So between the ages of 2 to 4, children's attention, their emotional regulation and impulse control are developing rapidly. And behaviors that may look like ADHD at that age often resolve naturally as the brain matures. So for this reason, at that stage, professionals usually take like the watchful waiting approach, and they offer support and they focus on guidance and structure and monitoring rather than giving an early diagnosis. But then when we get to primary school children, in primary school, ADHD becomes easier to identify because there is a higher expectation to focus for self-control, to sit still, and all of that. So signs often appear across settings at that stage. So it appears at school, the coach notices it, mom then notices it. So, and teachers are usually the first ones to notice the difficulties. And those difficulties often look like these kids struggle to follow instructions, they struggle to complete tasks, or they struggle with managing their impulses. And it's really important at this stage for early identification because it allows timely support and intervention for them. And then when we look at our teenagers, which is quite a tricky time because there's a lot of emotional and hormonal development as well, but signs can actually become more pronounced in the teen years because academic and social demands increase drastically in that phase. So these teens often struggle with challenges around organization and time management and sustained attention. And this can impact their school performance, but also impulsivity in teens may actually lead to more risk-taking behavior. So it's extremely important in teenagers.
Really risky.
Yes, they are. And that's why it's so important to give them holistic support for teens, because a lot of teens that I see and I work with are very frustrated. They have low self-esteem from years of not meeting expectations. So extra support for the teens and setting them up for success is extremely important as well.
Yeah, and what do you call it with regards to, I mean, you mentioned now that that teachers often also obviously notice, especially with primary school children. I do think as well, because if you're a teacher, you have a direct comparison of how a child should be.
Yes.
You can see if it's a little bit out of line and those type of things, which I think is then good for you. But in the same breath, sometimes I think that teachers also, I don't want to say get it wrong in something, or maybe, I don't know if it's a, it's maybe a combination also of parents being sensitive to the subject where they don't want their child to be different. And it's a difficult topic to kind of, to maybe address as well as a teacher. But I mean, what are some of the, so like I said, generally, that's the thing, is that the parents might miss things because they don't see certain things that happen in the greater scheme of things. And then only after a while, again, like I said, this was kind of where I was at a point where how did everyone notice things and they didn't tell me. Mm-hmm. In the end, like I said, it wasn't even related to ADHD at all. It was something completely different. But in the end, I did feel a lot more empowered once I understood what was going on. And I think that for me is a big part of also why I love talking about these type of topics, is that I want to talk to someone who's a professional who deals with this all the time, because it normalizes things. We're not talking about something weird or wonderful. It is something wonderful, but we're talking about something that is manageable in the end. And that's what I want people to take away from this. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM. This is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today, we're talking about parenting children with ADHD. And I'm talking with registered psychology counselor, Lorna Tronin. She's been in private practice already for over 10 years. And she's helping me navigate through this. And she clearly is passionate about the topic. She knows a lot about the topic. What are some, though, Lorna, signs and red flags that parents can look out for at home? Because like I said, it is now one thing, the sooner, with these things I feel, the sooner you realize it and start managing it, the better. Because you don't want to get to a teenage years and you only find out now. It's not the end of the world if you only find out when you're an adult. It's all manageable. But in the end of the day, all of these type of situations are better the earlier you start intervening. What are things that parents can look out for?
Yes, definitely. So some of the things that parents can actually look out for is constant reminders to sit still, to listen, to finish tasks. Kids who struggle with forgetfulness or losing things or not completing work. Emotional outbursts and kids who have very low frustration tolerance. And almost feeling like your child is always in trouble despite knowing they are putting in the effort. But again, like we said earlier, it's very important that these behaviors can also be developmentally normal sometimes. So the most important part is to look at different patterns across different settings and over a period of time, and to see if these patterns are persistent, if they are intense, and are they affecting your child's daily functioning? And if you notice this, then it's a good idea to seek professional help so that someone can screen, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and that gets me to my next question is that what is that process of screening? Again, I've got personal experience with this whole situation, and it was a little bit frustrating, scary, and all sorts of things. But in the same breath, I'm in the parenting. So as soon as I started wondering, I knew who to ask. And I got the right assistance very quickly, and I sorted it out very quickly. And my own individual diagnosis was in the end incorrect. But what is the process of getting an ADHD like diagnosis? What does it involve typically?
Okay, so many professionals can screen, but in South Africa, an ADHD diagnosis can only be made by qualified professionals trained to assess mental and neurodevelopmental disorders. So this would be psychiatrists, certain psychologists, pediatricians, and neurologists. And a diagnosis often involves a comprehensive assessment. So it includes taking a detailed history, gathering input from parents, teachers, and observing behavior and behavioral patterns over time. Once a diagnosis is obtained, a broader team of professionals can actually get involved. So this would include mental health care practitioners, like psychologists, play therapists, psychological counselors, occupational therapists, speech therapists, remedial teachers. And this broader team can address the child's emotional, behavioral, academic, and developmental needs holistically. And they can actually support parents in doing that as well.
Oh. Again, if you've just joined me, you are on Bump and Beyond, and we're talking about ADHD today with Lorna Thrawn. I want you to be part of the conversation. So again, please, I also want you to give me input. Are you feeling like overwhelmed at the moment, this time of the year? Do you have input or questions about ADHD for Lorna? Please send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. I also think it's a more and more common kind of thing where adults, because I think ADHD is a more acceptable kind of situation at the moment. And I know a couple of people that were only diagnosed with ADHD as adults, actually, where they feel like their life could have been significantly different if it was diagnosed when they were younger. But that what I'm actually now getting to with regards to that is ADHD something that you live for life, or is it something you can outgrow? Or because, again, I think any such things like ADHD, if it's managed, you can live obviously a very normal kind of life. But in the same breath, if it's only diagnosed when you are an adult and you've tried to understand what's going on and you've got certain behavior and you can't think what it is, it can also obviously lead to depression and anxiety and those type of things, which is not necessarily associated with the ADHD, but it has caused it in the end of the day. But my question is it something that you live with for life?
Yes. So it is not something that has a cure as such. No. So it is neurodevelopmental. Adults have ADHD. Kids have ADHD. Often when you sit with a little one and parents and they say, oh, well, I don't know where my child gets this, you can look at the mom or the dad and see they're busy fidgeting and not focusing and forgetting. And so there's a genetic component to it as well and environmental factors that do play a role. But yes, it is something that you have throughout the lifespan, and it is diagnosed more now in adults as well, as awareness is increasing and people are becoming aware of it, which is good because it can help, because understanding gives us a way to manage and to help and to have insight into it. So yes.
No. Also for me, which is now also interesting, because a friend of mine, her son, and now I'm talking about, it is a couple of years ago. Let's say it's 6-7 years ago already. So maybe it's better now. But her son was diagnosed with ADHD. And she immediately told me, she told me he's got ADHD and he's on medication. And I was actually like, and then I'm like, okay. But he was at that point, I would say he was about 10 years old. Let's say 10 years old, 10, 11 maybe. And then I was immediately like, what did your occupational therapist say about this? And I was talking like, kind of like, how did you get to this point? And then she was like, no, I don't believe in OTs. I immediately went on to medication. And I was honestly, I was extremely surprised that someone would immediately, but that seems to kind of be, if you hear it, let's medicate it. Is that the only avenue if a child has ADHD? Or what is your options when once you know now your child has, is that it? You have to be on medication.
So no, it is not the only avenue, but medication can be very helpful. It's actually a very tricky topic, and parents, it's almost controversial. Parents either don't want to do medication at all, or it's the first thing they want to do, but medication can be helpful for ADHD, but it's not a fix. So you can think of it like glasses for the brain. So it helps the child focus and manage impulses and pay attention when they are at school in a school setting where they need to do those things in order to pass each year. And in South Africa, and I think this is an important part, treatment options like medication should be advised by medical professionals like psychiatrists or pediatricians or neurologists, because they assess the appropriateness and they monitor the effects over time as your kid gets older. And then they can change based on what they see and what they notice. So I think a part of it is there's a lot of voices involved in the medication talk about it. So teachers and OTs and play therapists and all of that. But I think if you want to make an informed decision, go to someone who is qualified to give advice and guidance and to monitor the effects. But that being said, equally important for support includes other therapeutic interventions for kids. So it might be play therapy or behavior therapy or skills training. It is definitely the most important part would be parental guidance. So OTs are important for developmental help and support, and speech therapists and remedial teachers. But even though therapy is amazing and you should get therapeutic support in for your kids early, it becomes an expensive play date if parents aren't actively and proactively involved in the process. So you need to be involved. You need to get yourself educated on it. You need to ask what you can do at home, how you can implement it, work together with the professionals, or find a professional that wants to work in a collaboration with you so that you can get the support and that it can be carried over into your child's daily life and not only contained in one or two therapy sessions here and there.
Oh, and I love that. And I think, and I mean, again, the whole medication thing. Anyway, let's have a break. We'll get back to that just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond, and today we're talking about ADHD, parenting children with ADHD and managing it. It's been such a wonderful talk, and I've learned quite a lot, and I felt like I already knew quite a lot about the topic, but I felt a lot more informed and empowered in lots of ways. Information is always like that for me. My guest today is registered counselor Lorna Troon, who's got over 10 years of experience in the field in private practice. So it's really been such a wonderful talk. Don't worry if you've missed it, hey? Please remember that it's available as a podcast on highfm.com for you to go listen to later. And it is really something, if you've ever wondering, or even just for the future, just in case, to go listen to, it's worthwhile to go listen to look out for those red flags, what to look out for. Before we went to the ad break, we were talking, though, about medicating with ADHD, that I said that I feel like it's sometimes the only or the first option parents kind of. But again, Lorna, you mentioned this is a lifelong thing in the end of the day. So, and you very, very specifically before the ad break talked about that parents, it can't be the therapist's job, can't be the teacher's job. This is a everyone's job, including the parent. So this is a, in essence, a lifestyle that you have to take on. What are some of the strategies that parents can use at home to support a child with ADHD?
Yes, that is very true. So children with ADHD are not problems to be solved. They're actually little kiddos with brilliant minds, and they need support and understanding and environments where their brilliance can shine. So their curiosity, their creativity, their unique perspectives are actually gifts. So we need to preserve those gifts, and we need to nurture them as well. So parents can help and actually strengthen some of the skills that they need later on. And I always say to the parents that I see, set your kid up for success. So get help, get support, and get yourself educated. That would be the first thing. And be proactively involved in your child's life and world and how they operate. But some of the few practical tips that I can actually give are a few fun things parents can do or implement at home. So one would be using visual timers and routines. So this helps little kiddos learn how to organize and how to structure themselves and visual timers for transitions. You can also break tasks into smaller fun steps, use time challenges or music and fun things to help them. And then you can build executive functioning skills by playing many games. So games like Simon Says, for instance, actually has a good way of practicing impulse control. Do planning challenges with them. Help them plan in advance. Plan a day. What's the weather going to be like? What do we need to pack? That helps them practice and future pace and think about what is needed. And then also a very fun game that you can play with all kids is the what if game. So this helps them practice problem solving skills and emotional regulation. So that would look like you ask your kid, hey, what would you do if you were sitting in class and a friend said, let's take the teacher's 10 rand. And then you allow them to practice what they would do in that situation and you guide them. It's not about saying this is right or wrong, but you are allowing a space to set them up for success. And then something very, very important is encouraging their creativity, encouraging movement, and supporting their passions. These little kiddos are very passionate about certain topics, and these topics often shift, and I see it, but step into their world and become an active participant in how they are learning, because creativity, movement, that is how they naturally learn and acquire new information. And then the last one, which is extremely important as well, is be very intentional and proactive about encouraging and celebrating effort and achievement. These kids get a lot of negative feedback from the outside world. So I think as a parent, you should be intentional about noticing the effort they are putting in and praising them for it, and building them up instead of tearing them down.
That was wonderful. I mean, some of those things I also even want to incorporate with my children, because that what if game is for me a very cool kind of like tool to have with children, especially at preteen and teenage years. It might be worthwhile to test the ground. But maybe I'm afraid of what the answer is going to be. But that was really, really wonderful and helpful, those strategies. But as well, I have to say, of the mom of a neurodiverse child, I have to say that one of the biggest things for me is don't be afraid to get that diagnosis in the end of the day. First of all, don't be afraid of it, because it is very, and again, my child doesn't have ADHD, but in the end, once you know, I feel it gives you a lot of grace with certain behavior. If you know, because sometimes we can be very short with our patience and things like that. And once you actually know that, hey, my child, this is normal behavior. It's not something to worry about. We have to manage it, and you can have tools and stuff like that. But just knowing can make such a difference as well with the way that you have grace with certain things, where you can then be like, oh, he's doing that. Yes, he's stressful. Or yeah, he's doing that. Let's change the space or do something like that. Before you go, Lorna, please can you just one thing that you feel that every parent of a child with ADHD understood? What is that one thing?
So ADHD is not your child being lazy or naughty. Kids with ADHD have a different type of brain, and that it's actually full of potential. These kids are creative, and they need the right support. They need patience and love, and they will thrive in the right environment. So don't be scared of it. I know parents are very scared in the beginning, but there's a beautiful side to it as well. And I think seek the right support and you will see your kid thriving. They are the little busy doers and the leaders and the builders of the world. And that is something to actually nurture and protect.
Great. Thank you so much, Lorna, for joining me. If you're looking for Lorna, you can find her at lornatroon.co.za. She's also on Instagram. Easy to find her. Thank you so much for joining me, Lorna.